It is good to be here, and I want to talk to you today about salt. During COVID, the church was declared non-essential, and that made us mad, didn't it? But I wonder if we earned that. I wonder if we've not lived into being that essential part of our community. I'm really excited to hear all of the things your church is doing, and this coming Saturday, the Big Serve, and just that should be our routine, isn't it? But understand the Great Commission, that call for us to go and be, was not a corporate call. It wasn't to this institution called Wooster Church of the Nazarene. It was an individual call. Go and be. And so I want to talk to you today about salt and what it means for us to go and be. The Great Commission, how many places did it said we would go and be? I hear it. Four. It says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Four different defined areas. I think it would be really good for each of us to define what that means for us. What is our Jerusalem? What is our Judea? What is our Samaria? And what is the ends of the earth? Now, I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and I was an amazing baseball player. The older I get, the better I get in my own mind. And as you can see, I've started the year on the IR. I'm on the 60-day injured list. Had to have my wrist have surgery and rebuild it, but in baseball, if I had a 2-for-4 night, that was really good. 3-for-4, that was great. 4-for-4 was amazing, but on most nights, it's going to be, 2-for-4, 3-for-4. And that's failure in the Great Commission. Because he said, you will be my witnesses. So the question is, how can we be salt in all of those arenas? How can we have an impact into the world that God has placed us and so desperately needs us? First of all, understand when Jesus is speaking here, can I have the verse? You are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And I think that's the dilemma. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. What I fear is when we were declared non-essential, it's because we've lost our saltiness. Salt. In that period of time when Jesus is speaking, it was one of the most valuable items. It was a currency. Roman soldiers would carry little pouches. They would be paid in salt, and they would put it in that pouch, and then they would barter along the way. So what Jesus is saying, when he also said about light, salt and light, those were two of the most valuable things in that time. And so he is saying to you and I, we are called to be the most valuable things to the world. So let's look at the ways that that can happen. I want to just look at some 5 different ways that salt is used. Now, how many of you remember Vicks? My grandmother was convinced that Vicks solved every malady of life. And I last time I was here, my asthma was messed up, and when I was a kid, if my asthma's messed up, she's putting it on my chest, she's putting it on my neck, she's putting it everywhere on my feet, I think. And then she would take a wash rag and put it around my neck. And she would take a safety pin that I have no idea what the thought of putting that near your carotid, how that was a good idea. And they would pin it, and then you're supposed to go to sleep. Or how many of you remember, I always say this, Mecurocomb? Now, even a guy like me could run fast after putting that on. I mean, that would burn like the dickens. My brothers, I have two older brothers, we would cut an arm off and we wouldn't tell anyone because we were afraid they're going to put McCaracomb on it. Salt. Maybe you remember, I have a sore throat, Mom. Gargle with salt water. It was a beautiful experience, wasn't it? Oh, nothing better than a good glass of warm salt water. But you know what it does? It heals. For a time, it burns. For a time, it's very uncomfortable. And I wonder, with the issues of our world, have we become soft in taking stands? Because we have what it takes to heal the challenges of our world. Not programs, but Jesus. And I wonder if we're more worried about being friendly and popular than we are to bring healing to the world that so desperately needs it. We are called to be salt. Salt, it makes things safe. I was talking to Andrew this morning, and I said, "What's that back there?" And he goes, "Oh, it's what we spray on the parking lot." Because here in the Midwest, what do we have? We have ice. And we use salt, makes dangerous situations safe. My brother moved after he had left our hometown of Dayton, and he ends up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and he sent me and my other brother a picture of their salt truck. It was a pickup with a guy in the back with a shovel. But we put salt on the roads, right? And we put salt on the sidewalks because it makes dangerous situations safe. Now, if it was an early Sunday morning and your pastor is here, and he's looking out the door, he doesn't stand at the door and throw the salt out, because you won't get very far. Nor can we make the dangerous situations of our time safe from inside the confines of our building. We are called to go and be. We have to go. I was talking to our police chief. We've had a tragedy of youth violence in our city. Just 4 weeks ago on a Saturday night, seven kids between the age of 12 and 17 got into a gunfight. And I said to the chief, "Chief, this isn't your job. It's the church's job. You corral behavior, we change behavior with the hope of Jesus Christ. The hopelessness of this generation, which I have to tell you, being engaged with youth as we are, I have never in my life seen such hopelessness, seen such rage. Jane and I were driving down the street the other day, and a guy is walking across the street. He was intoxicated, but a car sort of came up at him, and he hit the hood. And as we're pulling up, we're seeing this guy just get out and pummel this guy. Knocked his teeth out, broke his nose. And then he drug him out of the way, and we pull over, and the rage. It is the church's job to make the dangerous situations safe. We're called to be salt. Being now that we live in Indiana, I get, maybe some of you, in the summer, I love watermelon and cantaloupe. And what do we do with it? We slice it and then we put salt on it. Salt really has no flavor, but it enhances the flavor of whatever you put it on. Maybe you have this memory. I can remember when my mother would can green beans. And we'd go to bed hearing the popping sound, right? Pop, pop, pop. And she would put some salt in there. And I would pray that some of them wouldn't seal, so we got to eat them the next day. It enhances the flavor of the green bean. It enhances the flavor of the watermelon. It enhances the flavor of whatever you put on. And here's my question: what are you enhancing to the world around you? I want you to know, too many times, there's a song that says, I speak Jesus, and I fear we don't. I fear that what we enhance is worry. We enhance negativity. We can get caught up in the political part of the today where it is everyone. You don't have people who disagree with you. You have enemies. And we're called to enhance something much different. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Witnesses to what? To the love that this world is so desperately needing. Are we enhancing that in our lives? You know, how many of you remember, I'm 58, so back in high school, remember salt tablets? I mean, who thought that was a good idea? They would make you so thirsty. I wonder what we make people thirsty for. Does your life make people thirsty for Jesus? And how do we accomplish that? You say, Jay, I'll probably never go overseas. That's right, but you accomplish it with a box right there. You accomplish it with a dollar. You're being salt when you drop a dollar in, because it goes to support the work of places and people that we will never see in our life. We accomplish that when we kneel at an altar and pray. We're called to be salt. Some other things, Jane and I have traveled some, and I watched them. I think it was either in the Moravian village in North Carolina or Williamsburg, where I saw them salting a ham. Have you ever seen that? It's a lot of work. You don't do this. You don't stand there and see the ham and you throw it on it. No, you are rubbing it and you continue to cake it and you work hard. And I wonder, you know, the purpose of that is to preserve the meat, to keep it from spoiling. And it means that we have to work. Next Saturday, you're going to be salt that's bringing preservation to a community and to a culture that needs it. But it's hard work. And by the way, when Saturday evening comes and you have dinner and you say, man, that was a great day, it's not over. Let that be a start, because I'm going to tell you, the church, what I fear, this year, 60 years ago, this year, Lyndon Johnson went to Eastern Kentucky, and he declared the war on poverty. Some of you may remember those iconic photos. 50 years, so 10 years ago, I stood on that same porch with some pastors, with J.K. Warwick and a couple of others. And we talked to the original guy who Lyndon Johnson talked to was Tom Fletcher. His son now lives there, Calvin. And so we're talking to Calvin. And Calvin looked at us and he said, pastors, there's moonshine down here. It's still rough. He says, we still don't have running water, electricity. Government promised us a lot. Nothing's changed. Do you think the church could help us? Folks, that's not an indictment of government. It's an indictment of the church. I fear that we've lost our saltiness. We've come and stayed instead of going and being. I've had, Jane and I have had multiple trips back there to Turkey Creek. There's a tremendous ministry going on there, and Dwayne Mills is doing a fabulous job. The church has to be engaged. We have the privilege to flesh out Jesus to a world that hasn't seen him or heard him. And we do that by loving and by serving. Go and be. Another thing, I teach a couple cohorts of pastors in Africa, and I was talking with them about this, and they said, Jay, we know you have all those chemicals, the stain removers, the stain sticks that we all need Sunday after we go out to eat, right? And they said, we don't have that, but we do, it's hot here. And we wear dress shirts all the time, and we sweat. And so what we needed was something to get the stains out, and salt we put into our wash. I had never heard that. And so they began to explain how they use salt in their washers and that it restores the color. It removes the stain. Oh, isn't that what Jesus does? We're able to take that salt into someone's life and say, yes, I know your brokenness. I know all of your past, but here's some salt. It's Jesus, and it removes those stains. You are not identified by your brokenness. You are not identified by your past. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and that stain has been removed. That's the part where you could say, amen. I've got one over here. There's more than a couple of you out there. That's exciting. Not my preaching, but the promise that Jesus has come, and we have the ability to bring and take that into a world that has been labeled by its brokenness. And let me tell you, I live this. We all have wounds, but they don't have to define us. Oh, they help write our story, don't they? But Jesus says, I have come to give you new life. Now, Jane and I live in the inner city there in Indianapolis. And in this small little area we live, guess what? We don't have city water. We're on a well. Some of you may be on a well. It's a beautiful experience. You ever seen orange stains? So I have a thing in the closet that I bring salt into, and we pour 40 pounds of salt in there, 3 or 4 bags. Now, I don't do that right now. We did it right before I had surgery. Because what salt does is it takes what is really not usable water, water that's so hard, and it makes it usable. And again, that's what we're called to do, to bring that into lives of people who feel like they have been forgotten, that they are so broken, that they can't come in. That's why it's so powerful in John 4 when Jesus says to the woman at the well, yes, I know your brokenness. I know all your past. You're living with a guy and you've been married 5 times. Why is he doing that? Because he wants her to know, I know your past, but I love you. And we have that privilege to bring that salt into the world, to make what some would say is unusable. It's what John said to that woman at the well, or Jesus said to the woman at the well in John, I can give you living water. Folks, we're called to be salt. We don't need to worry what government says about us. We just need to go and be. It's there, it's in that moment that we regain our saltiness. And being essential is declared by the God of the universe as written in his word. Go and be salt.